Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya
Oh.
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, BBT founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Namaskaro Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vaitagadana Shri Vasa Gopalanda Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopalanda Shamakurma Hakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Maya Purnama Dvip Dham Ki Jai, Gaunga Mai Ki Jai, Jumuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, the most beautiful Lordship, Shri Shivananda, Nishwari Ki Jai, Jagannath Swaji Maharani Ki Jai, Bhagidhaj Maharaj Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtana Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yagi Ki Jai, Ramananda Transmittal Book Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada's Transmittal Book Distribution Marathon Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada's Christmas Marathon Ki Jai, Nitai Gona Permanente. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas. Would you seek them to bestow your mercy upon me so that I can speak something from the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Reading today from the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7. The chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. And we're reading today text number 27. So first please repeat. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead. and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Please repeat. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya that since the living entities all belong to the marginal potency of the Lord, each and every living entity has a natural tendency to become Krishna conscious. Although, at the same time, the seed of material enjoyment is undoubtedly within him. The seed of material enjoyment, watered by the course of material nature, fructifies to become a tree of material entanglement that endows the living entity with all kinds of material enjoyment. To enjoy such material facilities is to be afflicted with the three material desires, the three material miseries. However, when by nature's law there is a flood, the seeds within the earth become inactive. Similarly, as the inundation of love of Godhead spreads all over the world, the seeds of material enjoyment become impotent. Thus, the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the more the desire for material enjoyment decreases. The seed of material enjoyment automatically becomes impotent with the increase of the Krishna consciousness movement. Instead of being envious that Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, those who are jealous should be happy, as indicated here by the words Panama Ulasa. Because they are Kanishka Adhikaris, or Prakrita Bhaktas, materialistic devotees who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge, they are envious instead of happy, and they try to find faults in the Krishna consciousness movement. Yet, Srimad Prabodhananda Saraswati writes in his Chaitanya Chandramrita that when influenced by Lord Chaitanya's Krishna consciousness movement, materialists become averse to talking about their wives and children. Supposedly learned scholars give up their tedious studies of Vedic literature. Yogis give up their impractical practices of mystic yoga. Ascetics give up their austere activities of penance and austerity. And sannyasis give up their study of Sankhya philosophy. Thus, they are all attracted by the bhakti yoga practices of Lord Chaitanya and cannot relish a mellow superior to that of Krishna consciousness. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militangina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhadu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jagat Vila Jivera Hoy, Bijanash, Taha Deki Pancha Janera, Panama Ulas. When the five members of the Pancha Tattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Srila Prabhupada's purport here is very ecstatic, very deep, very profound. Not really much more to say. Anyone have any questions? Did everyone hear the purport? Or was it one of those words that just flowed over the brain like waves? Anyone remember anything Srila Prabhupada said in the purport? Yes, off to Peter.
The Krishna consciousness for material desires to decrease.
Say it again. In Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness will not spread any material desires
will decrease. Will decrease, yeah. When Krishna consciousness movement spreads, then material desires decrease. Anyone else? Anything? Yes, Tarul, I'm sure you can repeat verbatim the entire purport.
I just missed the first line. I didn't pay attention. Can you just repeat the first line?
Just the first line. Okay.
Purport.
Do you remember what he said?
In the first line of the purport.
Yeah.
Shri Prabhupada's calling the spiritual master Shri Bhakti Saranta.
That's right. He says, in this connection, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya that since the living entities all belong to the marginal potency of the Lord, each and every living entity has a natural tendency to be Krishna conscious. Although, at the same time, the seed of material enjoyment is undoubtedly also within him. And then Prabhupada goes on to describe how the seed of material enjoyment fructifies just by simply being in the material world. So there's so much fertilizer or watering going on. Just as soon as you walk out the front door, maybe you don't even have to walk out the front door, but generally as soon as you go outside, then so many things are there to, especially in central London, to water the seed of material enjoyment, to water the desires to try to relish materialistic life. But Srila Prabhupada explains that this material seed fructifies by this watering process. It just becomes a tree of material entanglement. And Srila Prabhupada says that tree then bears the fruits of different types of material enjoyment. But this material enjoyment means that one also has to suffer the threefold miseries. So like this, Prabhupada explains that the nature of seeds, though, is that when there is a great flood, that the seeds are then made inactive because the water saturates the seeds and basically rots them, destroys them, so they become, Prabhupada used the term, impotent. Impotent means they cannot produce anything, they cannot fructify. So, Srila Prabhupada is making this comparison that the flood of love of Godhead that is being caused by the Panchatattva is therefore also has the capacity to make impotent the material desires within the heart of the living entity. The mission statement for ISKCON London is to flood London with Krishna consciousness. So at present we are endeavoring to follow in the footsteps of the Panchatattva and flood London with Krishna consciousness. But if you go out on the streets, which some of you are, then you'll notice that there's a tidal wave already there of material waters that so many people are just rushing down all the shopping streets eagerly trying to enjoy their senses, spend their hard-earned money into the offering, the fire of materialistic life. And a few saintly devotees are there trying to desperately turn on the tap of Krishna consciousness to put out this blazing fire of material life. Srila Prabhupada's mood of Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness. Recently hearing some different lectures and talks around book distribution and specifically around the marathon, and just being really overwhelmed with Srila Prabhupada's deep mood of compassion. And while performing the marathon, in whatever little capacity I've been able to, I have been doing, but they're really confronted by what is my motivation? What is it that is actually motivating me to distribute books, to get out the door, to do this service? Generally, the motivation, or at least let's say what we should understand the motivation to be, is one of compassion for the living entities. But that seed of material desire being there in the marginal living entity means that very often the motive, the thing that's motivating us, is some desire either for fame or adoration or distinction or money, even to collect some, to get the big score, to distribute the most books. Okay, at least they're Krishna conscious books, but still to distribute the most books. So unfortunately, this materialistic tendency is there within the living entity. And just because, just thinking how difficult it is to root that out, you know, to really come to a pure platform, and in trying to kind of find that consciousness, seeing that Srila Prabhupada, you know, his amazing desire and dedication to spread Krishna consciousness, you know, he didn't come to the West, you know, to try to start a big business and make a lot of money, to be the most successful guru that these weren't his motivations, yet he was completely determined to come to the West and try to give Krishna consciousness. I thought I would share with you, maybe you've heard many times, but this Markandeya Bhagavata Dharma, this poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote when he arrived at Commonwealth Pier in Boston Harbor in 1965. And I've heard it so many times, but it's good to hear it again and again. Like someone was saying the other day, sometimes we hear something over and over and over again, and we never really get anything from it, and then that one time we hear it and we think, wow, yeah, that really, really touches me deeply. So I just thought I would share Srila Prabhupada's mood of spreading Krishna consciousness. Because in one sense, Prabhupada had come from the holy land of Vrindavan. He got on a ship at the age of 70 and traveled across the sea, enduring heart attacks, seasickness, so many things, to arrive in the land of Malechas and Yavanas, you know. And so, just like sometimes we can be in the temple absorbed, Krishna, the smell of the incense, the smell of the prasad, being served, and the association of devotees, and some level of cleanliness. And then we walk out the front door, and it's like entering into the world of Malechas and Yavanas, going into the underworld, the underbelly of society. So Srila Prabhupada writes, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me." So just in the first line, it almost says everything. Srila Prabhupada has been on this steamship for, how long was it? 30 days or something like that? And he's now reached his destination. And he's saying, Krishna, you're so kind, but why the hell did you bring me here? What am I doing here? You know, now that I'm here, it's like, you've brought me, so, okay, do whatever you like. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Who was it that was saying the other day, they were giving class and they were talking about how Western civilization should be considered the pinnacle of advancement. Huge high-rise buildings, you know, streets and cars, and everyone dressed so nicely. And generally, if you come from, at least I remember I had this experience after spending some time in India, you know, driving down the street is like, you know, you almost have a heart attack at least 25 times. Horns beeping, dust clouds, everyone's just crowded streets now, following the lines or following lights or anything, just everyone. And I remember getting off the plane and driving through Kensington from the airport thinking, oh, this is so nice. Those smell of sweet aromas, you know, the sewage is running under the ground and everyone's in nice lines and the cars are clean and the lights work and no one's blowing their horn and, oh, isn't this so nice? But Prabhupada's vision was, this is such a terrible place. Is that most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. So Prabhupada is clarifying his vision and also saying that he's not really sure how these people are going to be able to understand the message of Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. So Prabhupada's deep faith, he knows that Krishna can do anything. Even though I'm sitting here thinking this is impossible, How is anyone going to take to Krishna consciousness? But your causeless mercy, Krishna, you can do anything because you're the topmost mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. So Srila Prabhupada is taking complete shelter of Krishna. He's already said, I'm here, so do with me what you like. Now he's saying, I don't know how they'll understand. But you can make them understand. So you please, empower me. I'm praying for your mercy so that I'll be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. So they're under the illusory energy by your will, Krishna. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. So Prabhupada is saying all these living entities is basically shackled to the material world. But their shackles are Krishna's shackles. He's created those shackles. And he's also the person who has the key, and he can release them. So Prabhupada is seeing this mission of Krishna seeing this mission of Krishna consciousness, and he's just seeing all the fallen, the conditioned souls is suffering, and he's actually sincerely wanting to help them, but he's not thinking that he's the one who can help. He's realizing that the only person that can do anything is Krishna. So he's praying to Krishna to please help them. I wish that you may deliver them. So is this our meditation? As people are coming up the top of the steps, as we're going out the front door, as all the souls are rushing down the street towards us, are we thinking, Krishna, will you please deliver these fallen conditioned souls? Please enable me to do something. You can free them. You can release them. We're meditating like this, that I want these souls to be delivered. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. So Prabhupada, if we remember, he's come to the West with an umbrella, a bag of puffed rice, a change of clothes, and firm faith in the order of his spiritual master, firm faith in the holy name, and a box of Srimad Bhagavatams. This is Srila Prabhupada's sincere desire to give Krishna to others. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all auspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart, all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. So just like this verse is saying that if your mercy is able to come upon him, then he'll become liberated and all the inauspicious things within the heart will go away. So again, Prabhupada, understanding that the heart is just completely contaminated with these seeds of material desire, he just wants them to be purified. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. So Srila Prabhupada is thinking that he's unfortunate, he's unqualified, and he's the most fallen. What are we thinking about ourselves? Therefore, I am seeking your benediction. so that I can convince them. For I am powerless to do so on my own. So, we can understand here that Srila Prabhupada obviously feels like he must have some mission here, otherwise he would have never got on a boat and come. So he understands that something is there for him. He's trying to be an instrument and Krishna is using him. But he's submitting himself. He's not becoming puffed up and thinking, okay, Krishna, I'm here now, so let me off the boat so I can do the job that you've brought me here to do. Right? You know, I'm Superman. But he's thinking that the only way I'll be able to convince anyone is by your mercy. Oh Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure, as you like. So he could also be praying, just make me successful. But he's not. He's saying, whatever you want. So you've brought me here to preach. Now you can make me successful or you can make me a failure. Whatever you want. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. So if you like, Krishna, you can allow them to hear me. You can make my speech audible to them, even though they have no ears or qualification to hear it. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. Srila Prabhupada considering himself a puppet in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, but even after praying like this at Commonwealth Pier after arriving in America, it's not that when Prabhupada got off the boat that everything was smooth sailing. In fact, it's explained that once he got off the boat, that he didn't know which way to turn, left or right. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was doing. He just was depending on Krishna. And for almost a year, Srila Prabhupada was struggling to try to get anything happening. So, you know, Krishna's mercy is not always something that we can understand fully ourselves. But our sincere determination should be to continue despite whatever impediments or obstacles are there, understanding and knowing that Krishna has a plan, and the more that I can try to sincerely surrender to that plan, then Krishna will use me. And whatever is manifesting, whatever obstacle or impediment is manifesting before me now, is simply temporary, eventually will come to pass, and is here for my purification, is here to simply educate me in how to take shelter of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada's mission started in, what was it, 1922, was it? When he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And yeah, 1922. And in that meeting, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed him to spread Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking languages throughout the Western world. So that was 1922. And then in 1966, 44 years later, Srila Prabhupada finally started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So 44 years working to fulfill the order of the spiritual master with unflinching faith, completely dedicated and determined to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. 44 years. So if we think, I've been trying for 6 months, or 1 year, or even 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, maybe at most, probably anyone within ISKCON could be trying is 44 years. Not even just as long, only now could someone have been trying to fulfill the order of the spiritual master as long as Srila Prabhupada. So 44 years dedicating one's life to the order of the spiritual master. But not for fame, adoration, distinction, money, but simply to actually help to free the fallen conditioned souls from the clutches of the material energy, and to help lift the covering of the modes of ignorance and passion. Why? So that they can experience param ulas, which is the highest happiness. So that people can actually be genuinely happy. Really happy. Not like happy thinking that by purchasing this or purchasing that or spending this or spending that, doing this and doing that, I'm happy, with a plastic smile that says, I'm happy, I'm happy. Don't try to convince me that I'm not happy. Right? But actually finding real satisfaction. Anyway, just some thoughts that I want to share. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions? Comments, criticisms, concerns, corrections. Okay. Yes. Nothing right here.
Justify it
means, why is Krishna doing this? Is that what you're asking? one lecture I heard Ravindra Swarup describe this status very nicely. He explained that, just to repeat your question is that in the beginning Krishna seems to give all help and all facility and everything's flowing wonderfully, and we chant 16 rounds, and we follow four regulative principles, and you know. But then, after some time, impediments come, like work and family, extra work, and this and that, and then we have to try to keep up, maintain, and it's a real struggle. It's difficult. So, how do we justify that? So that's the question. So, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he explained that in the beginning, Some people explain that Krishna gives us a nice taste in the beginning just to attract us and allure us in, and we're like, oh yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, oh yeah, this is so nice. And then after 6 months, a year and a half, the honeymoon period ends. And Krishna strips that taste away, and then he leaves you bone dry and says, now, this is really Krishna consciousness. He said, but actually, his impression is that it's not like that at all. It is quite different. He says that the taste that we get in the beginning of Krishna consciousness is there in the beginning, it's available in the middle, and it will certainly be there at the end. The problem is not Krishna, and it's not a taste coming from the practice of Krishna consciousness. The problem is us. You see, the problem is that, as he described, in the beginning, when you come to the temple, you think everyone here is an angel. Isn't it? Let's be honest. When I first came, I thought everyone's glowing. I couldn't tell the difference between everyone because they were all bald-headed, wearing the same clothes. I thought, well, personal religion, but everyone looks the same, but they're all really sweet and nice and so wonderful. They just wanted to serve and, you know, and help and do something for the devotees. And then he said, but then after a little while, we become comfortable and we become familiar. And familiarity breeds contempt. And then all of a sudden, it's no longer they're all angels. But that one, he's a little bit like this. And she's a little bit like that. And, you know, that one over there does this, and that one does that. And then the critical finger of judgment comes out, and we decide to, you know, cast our vote of opinion upon every personality in the building, somehow trying to justify our own practice as we progress. Maybe that's not for everyone, but generally that's what happens, because we bring the seeds of material desire into our practice of Krishna consciousness. But they have to become purified. So then we meet with obstacles, or we become a little despondent, or we wonder, why has Krishna taken away that wonderful taste that I had in the beginning? Well, maybe it's because we're criticizing his devotees. Maybe we're criticizing the mission. Maybe we're criticizing this. Maybe we're doing so many things. Right?
It's also about the physical obstruction, material obstruction, as an impediment.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
so that's... Okay, so that's, maybe we can look at that from another angle, that when you enter into a commitment or relationship, generally as soon as you make a commitment to something, immediately there's going to be tests of that commitment. So Krishna is a person, he's a supreme person. So we make a commitment, oh Krishna, I love you, I finally found you, now I'm going to chant your holy names every day, for the rest of my life and follow these principles and everything. And then Maya says, really? Really? You love Krishna? But you said that so many times before. So many births you've been here. So many times you said, Krishna, I love you, and then you turn your back. Like we accept Krishna as the husband and then we cheat on him with Maya again and again. So these obstacles are there to test our sincerity, to test our faith, to see, do you really mean it? And if we go through the obstacles and we persevere and show our dedication to Krishna, then we go through the obstacles, and everyone has had experience that when you get through one of those obstacles, Krishna is there, just like in the picture on reception, you know, and he embraces you and makes you feel like, ah, Krishna, you are there. And then we think, like the gopis also were thinking in the Rasa dance, now I have captured Krishna. Now he's mine, all mine. And then again, Maya comes in between. And right, so it's like that. These are just obstacles, but the tests are there in anything that we do, in one sense, right? Even materialists, if they start a project or start something, they make a commitment to it, then there's impediments. No? But that impediment, just like Srila Prabhupada, you know, 44 years, that's long. Did he have any impediments? Those, yeah. Unlimited impediments and obstacles. But he didn't give up. He didn't stop. He just kept praying to Krishna more and more and more and more and more. What is it that you want? Okay, so this is there. Please help me to chant. Help me to become an instrument. So it just forces us to pray more and more and more. The obstacles should not be seen as impediments. They should be seen as opportunities. And as soon as we can see that, aha, Krishna, you're testing me. Now let me pass this test. That's a very high level of consciousness. But that's the level of consciousness we should come to, that we're actually not experiencing impediments as impediments, but simply as opportunities for us to deepen our faith and commitment to Krishna. All the topmost devotees experience extreme anxiety and impediments and commitments. I forget who it was, I won't say her name, but when she first started coming to the temple, she was reading Krishna book, and she came to me after one talk, and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I've been reading this Krishna book, and it seems to me that I've understood that the gopis, they're the highest devotees of Krishna." I said, "Yeah." "So developing that kind of love for Krishna is the highest thing." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "But then Krishna goes away, and they enter into a mood of complete despair and anxiety, and they're so saddened and heartbroken. And then it's explained that that's even higher." And she said, "Is that right?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "So the highest pinnacle of love is in a mood of separation where one feels heartbroken and distressed and in anxiety." "Yeah." You understand? So it's a little hard for us to fathom that the pinnacle of real enjoyment is that, you know, when we realize we're not with Krishna, we feel like completely overwhelmed with sadness and we just want to be with him. And we force ourselves to remember him, like the gopis were enacting pastimes, reminding each other of Krishna's pastimes. So this is the highest level, the mood of separation. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, Vipralamba Bhav, you know, this mood of separation, always remembering Krishna. So anyway, these obstacles, impediments, they're going to come whether we like it or not. So we can try to justify it, or we can just understand, that happiness and distress come of their own accord. It doesn't matter what I think. Like Prabhupada prayed, success or failure. You brought me here, you make me a success or you make me a failure. Of course I want to be successful, but not so that I become the famous one, but so that I can do your work, so that I can do your service. Okay, I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Nanda Kodi Vaish.